thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I don't really go in that much for sermon titles, but if I did go in for sermon titles, it might be something like Developing a Lifestyle of Praise and Gratitude to God. Now, friends, believe it or not, I really have quite a lot to say this morning, and I'm very aware that I think research scientists tell us that, you know, probably at best you retain about maybe 10% of what you hear. You hear it all, but you only really maybe remember 10%. I would be just totally chuffed this morning if you actually did remember 10% of what I was going to say. But the thought came to me that maybe today God will just sow one verse, maybe just one wee tiny thought, just a sentence, and that'll be God's word for you this morning. So I'm really hoping that will happen. And I had the real privilege of being at the youth meeting on Friday night past there. I was just saying a couple of words at it. And just to say, guys, that a wee bit of what I said on Friday night, I'm saying again this morning, so like you can sleep during that part, okay? But most of it, hopefully, will be reasonably fresh. Also, friends, I'm not an experienced speaker, so I really have to, excuse me, make quite extensive use of notes here. So hope it won't come across too mechanically and that it'll be reasonably fresh. Okay, probably the best thing, the most important thing of all is reading God's word. So I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 34. And friends, just as a change, can I ask you not to look it up, but just to really, really focus your attention just on the words that I say, okay? Because sometimes we're using different translations and we're trying to sort of match up what I'm saying with what you're looking at. So just focus just on what I say and let God speak to you through his word. So Psalm 34, it's a psalm of David. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Amen. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. Isn't that tremendous? I prayed to the Lord and he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. I just have to read that again. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord is a guard and surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Friends, tremendous, isn't it? Okay, developing a lifestyle of praise and gratitude to God, to try and kind of make it grounded or real, can I tell you a wee bit about my early years as a Christian? Not desperately frantic, to be honest, but just a wee bit about the early years. I came to faith in Christ just a couple of months short of my 17th birthday. Happened very, very simply. In all places, in the back of a wee orange hall in a townland called Ballinrees. Anybody heard of Ballinrees? Yeah, one or two, okay. Out the murder hole, or the Wonderhill Road, as they call it these days. Just very, very simply, just accepted Christ into my life. But the reason I'm telling you that is not so much to tell you about how it happened, but just to say that the first maybe couple of years after my conversion, I found quite difficult, to be honest. I mean, at 17 years of age, you're probably not in the most stable phase of your life anyway. You know, everything's changing and so on. But I found it quite difficult. And the reason why I say that, I found myself being very kind of up and down in my faith. You know, some days I felt God was really close and I was making some progress. Other days I felt God was quite distant and, I felt that I was almost going backwards. It was this sort of cyclical sort of up and down. But the great thing about the Lord, despite the kind of instability, if you like, in my walk with the Lord, never once did I actually doubt that something really had happened in my heart. And I can only say that was a gift from God, because I've often heard people say that maybe they've maybe doubted their salvation, or they've wondered maybe, did I actually become a Christian? I never had those doubts, and I thank the Lord for that. But as I say, the performance or how I lived my life was certainly a wee bit erratic at times. But, you know, God always loves us, friends, wherever we're at. You know, and despite wherever you're at with your walk with the Lord, whether you feel you're making progress or you're regressing, God totally and utterly loves and accepts you just where you are right now. But I believe that he always loves us too much to let us remain where we are. You know, he wants to cause us to grow in our walk with the Lord. And, you know, a very significant thing happened in my walk with the Lord. I attended a meeting in, I think it was maybe the town hall in Coleraine, and the evangelist was a guy called Leslie Hale. Now, I'm just curious, does anybody actually remember Leslie Hale? A really interesting person, you know, quite a colourful, maybe even slightly controversial character, but his word that night was totally for me. And he read from the passage I've read this morning, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And he emphasised those words, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's almost as if that was emboldened at all times. His praise will continually, all and continually. And what he was trying to, I suppose, get across that night was that, you know, God wanted us to have a life of praise and worship to him always, not just when we felt like it, not just when, like our first song today, when things are good, you know, we praise God, and when things are bad, you know, we don't. This idea of praising God, whatever our circumstances, internally or externally. And I remember at the time thinking to myself that it seemed a wee bit unrealistic, to be honest, I thought. But by all means, praise God, you know, when you feel like it, but it's hard when you don't. But again, I think the Lord was working in my life, because I couldn't really shake the idea out of my head. And I remember thinking to myself, it's almost as basic as this here, maybe I'll give it a go. It doesn't sound terribly spiritual, but you know, that's just how I felt. So I started to praise and thank God a bit more in my life, particularly whenever things weren't going well. And at the start, friends, I felt such a fraud, to be honest. I felt a hypocrite. But here I am trying to praise and thank you, and I hardly really mean it in my heart, because I don't really feel it in my heart. But you know, when God sees even the tiniest spark of faith or expression of love, you know, he moves in your heart. And what I discovered, friends, ever so gradually, you know, I started to gain a greater measure of, shall we say, victory, a greater measure of consistency in my walk with God. You know, when, say, for instance, I'd wake up in the morning and feel not particularly full of praise and gratitude, school exams or dental appointments or stresses maybe in work, whatever it was, you know, and I found myself, well, Lord, I'm going to praise and thank you anyway. You know, it brought the presence of God actually into my life. I was quite surprised and shocked, and I can only put it down to the fact that God honours you when you, even in your own feeble, pathetic way, try to honour him, you know. And friends, the last 50 years has been a journey of trying to, how would you put it, embed or make this a greater reality in my heart and life. And friends, I'm certainly a major work in progress. I'm not the finished article, that's for sure. But you know, the more I have praise and thank God, you know, in all situations and circumstances, you know, it's almost like a magnet. It does attract the Lord's blessing into your life. So that's kind of just my experience. But I want to try and maybe ground that a wee bit more in a sort of a, I'm going to say a theological context, that's what would I know about that. But just talk a wee bit more about just, you know, what God's word maybe says about the issue of praising and thanking him. And friends, the first thing I want to say is that praising God at all times, it's a command. It's not an option. It's not something that God's suggesting to you or, you know, you maybe give this a go. It's a command from the Lord. And let's look just at one or two scriptures that maybe highlight that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything, everything, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Friends, that's a major, major challenge. But God never asks us to do something that he won't give us the power to do. That verse we looked at there a minute ago, Psalm 34, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." So God is saying, look, praise me when you're feeling up. Praise me when you're down. Praise me when things are going well. Praise me when things are going awful. Just honour me by giving me the praise and the honour that I am due. Listen to what Paul says here. And he said this here from a jail in Philippi. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." It just trips off my tongue, but it's massively challenging, isn't it? "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." And just one wee final scripture to try and emphasise the fact that God commands us to praise him. This is tremendous. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. It says here, "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there are no grapes on the vines," it says, "although the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls," in other words, complete, total, abject disaster, it says, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." Friends, what a challenge. Though nothing goes right, everything falls apart, yet I will rejoice, and God will honor you when you do that. So friends, if we kind of accept that this is God's standard, he's commanding us to praise him always, then why is it so challenging or so difficult to actually have that attitude? Well, there are probably a number of reasons for it, but I can only speak for myself and say that basically our emotions are possibly the greatest hindrance to a life of praise. I mean, quite simply, I just don't feel like praising God. I just don't feel it inside. I feel the very opposite. It would almost seem to be like hypocritical to praise God when I don't feel like it, but that shouldn't be the case. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And I think you could probably translate that, we walk by faith, not by feelings. I mean, just think about your feelings for a second. I mean, so many things impact our feelings and our emotions. The weather, you know, that sad sort of seasonally adjusted disorder. As I say, having something in your life that is a challenge, like I'm just saying the dentist, or something in your work, maybe stuff that's happening in your family, your financial situations, your health, your aches, your pains. Friends, there's 1,001 different things that, you know, cause us to at times be down and cause us to feel sort of have a negative vibe about our lives. But friends, the challenge this morning, I think for me anyway, is, are we going to live our lives controlled and dictated by our feelings and emotions? Or are we going to allow God's word to govern how we feel? I mean, when we wake up and we feel that we have challenges in our day, I mean, God's word reminds us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Friends, maybe we're finding it hard to make ends meet, and the Bible says, but my God will supply all your needs. But when we feel weak and need God's strength, again, his word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So the challenge really, certainly for me and probably for all of us, is am I going to allow my emotions to rule my life today, or am I going to trust the promises from God's word? And friend, I found that when I opt to trust God's word, you know, he actually moves in my emotions. He changes how I feel, and things are so much better. But maybe you're saying to yourself, I can't praise God at the moment because I can't figure out why all these bad things are happening in my life at the moment. And friends, we all have seasons in our life where we have challenges. I mean, it is a sad reality that bad things do happen to good people. Perhaps at times we find it difficult to praise God because maybe deep down, and we would never verbalize this, but maybe deep down, we don't just totally and completely trust God. Perhaps we're thinking, you know, if God really loved me and cared for me, then surely he wouldn't allow all the things that are going wrong in my life at the moment. I just don't understand what he's doing. And friends, perhaps this thing about not understanding is a really, really important issue. Friends, our understanding, or more accurately, our lack of understanding of what God is doing in our lives can be a real problem. It can be a real barrier. But perhaps one of the most important lessons God wants to teach us this morning is that we need to give up the right to fully understand everything that happens to us. That's really hard. Can I just say it again? Perhaps we need to give up the right to fully understand what's happening in our lives. Friends, that's much easier said than done. Because sometimes we think, well, if I knew how God was going to resolve that situation, then I could trust him. But that's not faith. If you see the answer, then you don't need faith. Faith is saying, God, I don't know what's happening here, but you've said that you love me and you're going to look after me, so therefore I trust you. I don't understand, but I won't allow my lack of understanding of what's happening to be a barrier to trusting in you. Does that make any sort of sense, do you think? Okay, Matthew 11, verse 22 says very simply, just have faith in God. Trust God. Friends, he knows what he's doing. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, what is faith? It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Okay. Friends, maybe the main part of what I really want to focus on this morning is that praise brings us, I believe, into victory. Praise brings us into victory because we're deliberately choosing to trust and honour the Lord despite outward circumstances. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Romans 8, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm sure you've heard the expression, you know, power and praise. And although it's a true expression, but I think it could possibly be misleading in one sense. If I say there's power and praise, there's no power as such in the words that I verbalize. It's not like positive thinking. It's not saying positive affirmations. It's not mind over matter. It's not about trying to like manifest a certain goal or ambition. And praising God is not learning or trying to manipulate somehow the Almighty to do what we want. It's not saying, I'll praise God if that's the only way I can get out of this mess. Friends, listen to this. When we genuinely praise God, He's honoured. He's delighted. We bring pleasure to Him, and He releases His power and His blessing into our lives and circumstances. I just have to say it again, just for my own recollection. When we genuinely praise God, He is honoured. He is delighted. We bring pleasure to Him, and He releases His power and His blessing into our lives and circumstances. There's a really good example from the Word of God about, if you like, the power there is in praising God. And I think maybe somebody recently even spoke on Jehoshaphat. I know it cropped up at one point in one of our services, but again, forgive the repetition, because I think this is hopefully worth saying. The story of Jehoshaphat is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's the well-known story of King Jehoshaphat. He wakened up one morning to discover that his kingdom, that's the kingdom of Judah, had been surrounded by a vast enemy army. Now, Judah was a small country, and militarily, there really was no hope for him. There really wasn't. He was totally surrounded. So what was his reaction? Well, in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, it says he was alarmed. Of course he was. He was alarmed, but it says he sought the Lord for guidance. He was alarmed, but he sought the Lord for guidance. And friends, so often when sudden calamities or difficulties just spring up out of nowhere in our lives, instead of our first reaction being to bring the thing to God in prayer, we quite often try to sort it ourselves. We run around and we get advice. We read up on it. We even Google it or whatever we do, you know. But Jehoshaphat's first reaction was, I'm going to bring this situation to God in prayer. Friend, that's certainly a lesson for me, that's for sure. We're moving house in 9 days' time, and there's a power of stuff to be done, but I have to believe that God is in it and He's sorting things out for us. King Jehoshaphat knew that militarily there was no hope, but in verse 12, he acknowledged his total dependence upon God when he said to God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon You. Friend, I love that. God, just look at what's going on. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon You. Lord, I'm looking to You as a source of help and blessing. He didn't allow his totally hopeless situation to become a barrier to his dependence upon the Lord to bring about an answer. Friends, I sometimes wonder if God allows at times situations to develop in our lives to teach us to depend more upon Him. Could God be saying to you and me this morning, although you can't see any way out of your present difficulties, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to believe that You will make a way for me. I mean, James 4 verse 10 makes a profound statement. It says, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence upon Him, He will lift you up. When you bow down and admit your dependence upon God, He'll lift you up and He'll give you honour. Friends, I sometimes think that self-surrender comes before victory. I really believe that. And you know, friends, God always responds to our honesty and our desperation for Him. Do you remember we read there in Psalm 34 where David said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. He responds to our honesty and our desperation. And in the case of King Jehoshaphat, he provided very precise instructions for their deliverance. The instructions were given in verse 15, starting off with the following words. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Don't be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army. The battle is not yours, but God's. I just kind of wonder, is that a word for someone maybe this morning? Maybe you feel at the minute surrounded by, impossible situations. And could God be saying to you this morning, look, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. This battle is not yours, it's mine. Relax, trust me, and I will make a way for you. God further instructed King Jehoshaphat that the next day the army of Judah should march out to a certain location where they would encounter the enemy armies. But again, God's instructions are completely different to what we would call the wisdom of man. In verse 17, God says, you won't need to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. You won't need to fight. Take your positions, stand still, watch the Lord's victory. And friends, again, I'm just kind of wondering, is there maybe a lesson for us there also? I mean, so often we run around frantically trying to sort out situations, put fires out, deal with things. And could God be saying to me and to you this morning, look, just stop. Just stop. You've done what you could. Now let me deal with this situation. Let me resolve it. Trust me. Just watch me at work. And again, friend, there's another, I'm just calling it slightly weird and wonderful twist to this story. And this illustrates the power there is in praising God. It says, the next morning, the army of Judah marched out to the battle, and King Jehoshaphat appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. What a weird military strategy, eh? In verse 21, they sang, give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. It doesn't sound like a great battle plan, does it? But guess what happened? Verse 22 records, at the moment they began to sing and give praise, it says, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. It says, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After that, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against each other. And when the army of Judah arrived on the scene, all their enemies were dead. I mean, and I think that happened because basically these armies were just really like a loose alliance of warring nations, if you like, and their deep-seated animosity for each other just exploded into open and deadly conflict. I mean, do you think, friends, that if the armies of Judah had gone down the conventional route of marching into battle to fight, do you think that they would have won? No. But instead, praising God and giving God the glory brought victory in their situation. So friends, praising God in the midst of our difficult circumstances, it's the ultimate expression of our faith and trust in God. God always responds to the praises of his people. Friends, he'll either change your circumstances or he'll bless you with his strength and his comfort so that not only will you be able to endure, but he'll cause you to flourish and be blessed. I love that 15th verse of Psalm 71 where it says, all day long I will proclaim your saving power, for I'm overwhelmed by how much you've done for me. Friends, just to bring it into land here, and we're just more or less finished. Can I encourage my own heart, and can I also encourage your heart to spend a little bit more time each day praising and thanking God? And friends, again, don't wait until you feel like it. Particularly praise and thank God when you don't feel like it. Again, David says, Lord, unseal my lips that I might praise you. So let's use more of our time to praise and thank God. Psalm 71:14, I will hope continually, I will yet praise you more and more. So friends, again, just to conclude, my gentle challenge to you from today onwards is to practice praising God in every circumstance of your life and just watch as he blesses you for doing that. Thank you. It's great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.